Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you live and on the air. Glad to be with you on our video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Glad to be with you on our audio stream, which you can always find at kfhradio.com. You can always listen as well on the Odyssey app. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Paul Savage. It is a Paul Savage Wednesday here on the program. And we are excited to have Paul in for a busy day. We got the draft starting tomorrow. Lots of interesting news items coming out over the last 24 hours or so that we'll get into. Jad Chambers is producing for us today. Jad Chambers is manning that IHOP hotline at 869-1240. So we will take your calls there. You can leave your comments on our video streams. You can reach out to us on social media. Among the things to get to today as we look ahead again to the NFL draft, and I think the most interesting thing coming out in the last, again, probably 24 hours, is these rumors with the Chargers and Justin Herbert, and the odds of the Chargers taking a quarterback with that fifth pick have dropped from 100-1 down to 6-1 on ESPN bet. So we'll get into that. I don't know what's going on there, but it's worth exploring just a little bit. We will get into Caitlin Clark has her deal with Nike. We get the details on that. It's a little lower, honestly, than I thought it would be.
What?
Still impressive.
What?
But it's lower. Oh, I'll explain.
Okay.
I'll explain as we make our way through.
All right.
So we have that we can talk about. Reggie Bush is getting a Heisman back. I know Paul will have a lot of thoughts on that as well. Dylan Edwards is in the transfer portal. The former Derby star. He's got his buddy, childhood friend Avery Johnson there publicly and very loudly campaigning for him to return to K-State. Remember, Edwards originally committed to K-State, then flipped to Notre Dame, then flipped to Colorado and Deion Sanders. Now he's back in the portal like a lot of Colorado players have been. So we'll get into that as well on the show today. We've got the Royals with a comeback win last night as well. There's a whole lot to get to today, Paul. Oh, and by the way, we expect Kevin Saul to stop by, and there's a chance I think he's going to bring Terry Nooner with him.
Well, that's good.
For this visit, which will be interesting.
Why not?
As we've had this explosion in women's basketball, and Terry Nooner has been busy bringing back some former local talent. So a lot to get to today. Again, your calls available for all of it at 869-1240. Let's start, Paul, with the NFL draft tomorrow. And we've talked for a long time about the Chiefs. One of the big Chiefs rivals is in the news here the last 24 hours or so. Justin Herbert, I'm a big fan. I think he's a star. Signed a huge deal. And now all of a sudden, there's a lot of, rumblings. And it started sort of with like Antonio Brown talking about this, that, the Vikings are looking to trade for Justin Herbert and the Chargers may be interested. Now, that sounds crazy because it is crazy, Paul. One, they would eat an historic amount of money, the Chargers would. They just signed him to that long extension if they were to do this. Two, he is fantastic and has had, questionable coaching at best so far and has still been fantastic. On the flip side of it, the Chargers roster is getting picked apart pretty handily. And obviously, Jim Harbaugh and J.J. McCarthy have a relationship, a very solid relationship. They love each other. It is a big deal. And I'll tell you this, there are people, a lot of people, that think J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in this class, including over Caleb Williams. So I guess I understand the smoke on this, the obvious connection between McCarthy and Harbaugh, but I just can't imagine there will be fire because it seems like such an impossible trade. It seems impossible to imagine trading a young quarterback like that. It seems impossible to imagine eating that much money that they would have to eat on that contract they just signed him to, Paul. But all of that was done before Jim Harbaugh gets here. This is really interesting all of the sudden with this, you know, rumor and odds drop and everything else that this would even be. I mean, we haven't even had this anywhere within the realm of possibility until the last 24, 48 hours.
Is this young man a top 10 quarterback? Let me ask you that.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
I think he is sure.
Good. I knew you would say that. Is he a top?
I think he's a top five.
I was going to say top seven, but let's just cut to the chase, the top five quarterback. And I think I would agree with you. I think obviously there's about three or four I could take, you know, ahead of him. But is he a top five? I'll tell you what, he would be in that area, be in, you know, five, six, seven. For
me,
sure.
Paul, the only obvious guys I would take ahead of him right now, and we're talking like upside, future, age, all of it considered, right? Everything has to be considered here. Off the top of my head, without looking at a list, and maybe I'm forgetting somebody, and you can remind me if I am, it would be Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, and then Justin Herbert for me.
I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. So with that being said, sometimes these kind of things just kind of shake out of the tree. They come from somewhere, maybe an undisclosed
from
source.
Antonio Brown, right? Like, well, a guy.
I'm saying, where did he get it from, though? I know.
I'm saying. You know, there's... That, probably because there are connected people within the, you know, fraternity that have been rumbling about this a little bit.
Well,
I get it. But I get the connections and why people would think it. Harbaugh's obvious connections to J.J. McCarthy. I understand that.
Right, right. I'm talking about, you know, somewhere it's going to somebody who has a connection, but somebody's hearing this for some, because nobody from the organization, at least that I've seen so far, and it may happen, I don't know, but nobody is making any comment about this. We don't know if this is true. I guess you could always have rumblings. I mean, you could make the comment, you know, the Chiefs might look to see what they could get for Mahomes. I mean, somebody could say that, and then somebody runs with it. I look at Hebert, and I just think to myself, you know, you're lucky to have a quarterback of this quality. I mean, we're talking about, you just said it in your own mind, this is a top five quarterback.
And I think he is, yeah.
And I agree with you. I think he is, too. I think he would be right there. He'd be one of those guys that I wouldn't mind having being the quarterback of my franchise. So with that being said, I just don't know how much stock. Sometimes, you know, you get to the point where you just go, golly, I just can't believe everything I hear. And even though it's coming from this source or that source, or a source tells another source, you know, sometimes I think to myself, you know, who's the source? What's going on? And what's the agenda? Because obviously there's an agenda. And many times throughout the course of draft history, you know this, there's all kinds of things that are started up to increase the value of certain players. And I don't know what the connection is, but wouldn't be surprised. I mean, all this is popping up with the fact that we got a draft that has what? 6, 7, 8, according to some people, as many 8 or 9 really good quarterbacks that might have an effect on the NFL over the future. I mean, this is a really quarterback heavy, at least it appears to me. And time will tell, by the way. There might not be a one of them that'll amount to a hoot. I don't think that'll be the case. But we don't know.
Yeah,
but
no,
time always tells on the quarterbacks, don't they? But it's not tomorrow. We won't know tomorrow. It'll be a while. But you know, with that being said, how do we know that whatever is being reported isn't to increase the value of somebody that we're not aware of? I don't know. I don't know that I'm putting a lot of stock into Jacob. No offense to the story. I know you find this story fascinating.
Well, but I think when you know, A, when Vegas talks, we sort of have to listen.
But they,
right? And it could just be it could just be Vegas covering its butt here.
They're
when it has something like that at 100-1 and it's like, well, we can't take that kind of risk. Could be that.
Uh-huh.
The financials of it don't make sense because they would have to eat so much money. But everything else you could see, like if that wasn't a factor here, I could see it. I could. Because Harbaugh's going to have a lot of control there, and he loves J.J. McCarthy and thinks a lot of him, clearly. There are a lot of people, by the way, that think a lot of J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be pretty good, right? I think there's a good chance. I think there's a, well, I'll call it a decent chance, that all four of these guys end up as productive NFL players, if not five. I think Penix is good, too. I think we got a chance that you've got five starting quarterbacks that have staying power in the league in this draft. That doesn't always happen. But Justin Herbert's a proven commodity who has done things rookies have not done in a situation, whether it be injuries to his, you know, to his playmakers, injuries to himself, injuries to his offensive line, or some of what I think is the worst coaching we've seen in the NFL. In his time with the Chargers, all that against him, and he's still done things at a clip we haven't seen very many guys do. I think you'd be crazy to trade Justin Herbert. That being said, if you're the Vikings, Paul, let's say the Chargers just answer the phone. I mean, there's pretty much nothing I wouldn't think that the Vikings would be willing to trade to make this happen. Would you give up your next three first-round picks for Justin Herbert? I would, absolutely. With Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson there, they've added to the offensive and defensive lines. Kevin McConnell, I mean, the difference between what Justin Herbert's had in coaching and going to Kevin O'Connell? There's not too much I would give up if I were the Vikings. So maybe it's just that the Vikings are willing to blow him away, and because of the connection between Harbaugh and McCarthy, maybe the Chargers are willing to listen. I don't know. The financials of it, again, make it even harder to imagine, but we just don't see this. You don't see young quarterbacks. It's the most valuable commodity in sports, Paul, and they got one of the good ones. That's the part of it that you just can't shake. Like, I don't care how much Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy. Harbaugh, who's had success in the NFL, wasn't he the one that was in love with Colin Kaepernick? And, you know, that was, off to a great start early and then faded pretty fast. I don't know, man. I think you'd be crazy to trade Justin Herbert.
You want a bird in the hand or two in the bush? What do you want? Because that's basically what this case is. And Harbaugh's smart enough to know that you never know. I mean, we have seen guys that are projected that they can't miss. They won't miss. They're going to be the next Johnny Unitas, for goodness sakes. And we've seen those guys when we've seen them. We have seen them talked about, and we see them go on the field for the first year. Well, it's rookies. They're learning the game in the NFL. It's totally different than from where they came. And we get that. We get that. And then later on, it's still, you know, now they're cut or they're traded or whatever the case might be. We also see guys that are picked way down the road. Tom Brady comes to mind. Brock Purdy is another that comes to mind. Brock Purdy, there's still a lot to be written with him. But I kind of like where the story's going, if you get my drift. I think he's an excellent talent and is picking up the NFL game very, very quickly. So with that being said, you just can't tell. And that's why I don't hold a lot to this story, Jacob, is because we all know that nobody is going to put their future in the basket with a quarterback who's just coming out of college. That's nuts. Not when you have Justin Herbert in your back pocket on your roster. You've got this guy. You and I have both agreed that minimum he's in the top five, at least in the NFL today. This makes no sense to me, Jacob. It just makes no sense.
It makes sense. I don't want to say it doesn't make sense, because it makes sense. I get it. It makes sense because you've got the obvious things about it. The most obvious being Harbaugh and McCarthy's connection.
Oh, gosh.
It
well,
makes it.
I got
you. Know, that, I'm not saying I agree with it.
All right.
I don't agree.
I know what you mean.
Makes sense because of that connection. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes sense because the Chargers are going to have to rebuild to some degree when they've lost as much as they've lost. But boy, they are going to be in a position potentially, Paul, to take the best non-quarterback in this draft at five if they don't want to trade down. They have so many great options in the draft. It's such a, you know, it's just hard to wrap our heads around because we haven't thought about it. The reality is this. If Harbaugh is right and J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in this class and is, you know, the best quarterback in Michigan history and is the best pro day quarterback he's ever seen and all of these things, and he's right about McCarthy, he'd be right about this trade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if, you know, if Harbaugh really believes that and he's right about it, we would never doubt that, you know, as we look back in history, even if Justin Herbert continues to be awesome, which we both think he would be, if Harbaugh's right about McCarthy and what kind of player he could be, and they got all this capital to go with McCarthy, you'd never say it was a mistake, even though they had to eat the money for a short time.
Right.
Or I don't know how long they'd have to eat the money. So, okay. So it does make sense that there is this rumbling out there, but I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
Right. I think you'd be crazy to trade Justin Herbert. Well, just kind of period.
I think let me kind of now jump on your bandwagon just a little bit, because I can certainly see where you're coming from on this, and I don't, since I really don't know, it's easy for me to flip-flop from one position to the other. But let me take your side for just a second, and that is that unless you're a Jim Harbaugh and you're in love with anybody in particular in this draft, no matter what position it is, unless you're so in love you can't make a trade, you know, you think about, well, there's a lot of quarterbacks that we're talking about in this draft that are going to be pretty good. And right now it looks like the Chargers, if they make this trade, they're going to get a number 11, a number 3, and around a number and a 108, plus another pick in the third round in 2025. Beautiful. That's not bad. Now, let's think about this analytically. Let's say you want another quarterback who's not from Michigan. Let's put it that way. You got a number 11 pick. You know, from what we get, there will probably be one of those pretty good quarterbacks still left around the 11 spot, don't you think?
I think they gotta trade up. If they want one of the top four, you're talking about the Vikings?
Well, I'm talking
they got it the
right.
The Vikings, if they want one of the top four, which are, you know, May, Daniels, Williams, McCarthy, they're gonna have to move up.
All right. Well, maybe they will.
I think but to get it. Because I don't
but there's still
there
some,
are too many no. there are too many other teams that want a quarterback that could also trade up ahead of them, right? Giants, I think, would be hard-pressed if one of those guys fell into their lap at six not to take one of them. That's just who's sitting there, right? And then you have both Arizona and the Chargers seemingly would be very willing to trade down. They'd be crazy, I think, not to at least listen. So there's too many teams that can get ahead of them.
Yeah, yeah.
If the Vikings want one of those four, they're going to have to move up, I think.
Well, let me ask you a question.
To make sure they get them.
And may I ask you a question? There's no right or wrong answer to the question I'd like to ask. But of the four quarterbacks you just mentioned, which one of those would you want? If you had
Caleb Williams.
Gosh, I'm not so sure. I mean, I like May. I kind of like May. I think he's a prototype. I know the least about May. Oh, okay.
Because he's played in the fewest amount of interesting games to me.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched him a lot.
Right.
So in fairness, I just don't know.
Right.
I watched plenty of Daniels. Obviously, he was a Heisman winner. Caleb Williams, I've watched them. Well, J.J. McCarthy, I've watched plenty of too. J.J. McCarthy, to me, I like J.J. McCarthy. I think, you know, I always pay attention, Paul, to guys who win at that clip. Like, it is hard to do. It's hard to win at that clip. And he has done nothing but win over his entire career. That's the only thing that holds me back from Caleb Williams. Now, I don't think Caleb Williams ever played on teams as good as Michigan, to be fair.
Right.
I think Caleb Williams, to me, is a little more obvious in the translation of his game. It looks more like what you would need to be able to do in the NFL. But I think there's absolutely a world where J.J. McCarthy ends up as the best quarterback out of this class.
Right.
I think he's the least risky.
Right.
I don't know enough about Drake May. And Jaden Daniels, I love, and I think he's going to have success while he's on the field. But he is a thin-framed quarterback that runs, and I worry about injury risk with those guys.
And by the way,
I do think while he's out there, though, he's going to be good.
And I can't blame you for Caleb Williams when you say he's been on some. I mean, he doesn't play defense. And let's face it, this last year, and we had talked about it while the season was going on. I know I mentioned it probably a half a dozen times how much the USC defense stunk. I'm using the word stunk, and I don't use it on this show very often. But let's face it, USC's defense was not very good, and Caleb Williams had to overcome. That's why they weren't as successful as you would think they would with a Caleb Williams at quarterback. So we've got to understand that. So with that being said, I certainly understand where you're coming from. I can't. It's hard for me to pick a quarterback because even at Christmas they're all good.
I like Michael Penix a lot too, Paul.
He's going to go a lot later than the guys we've been talking about.
We think. You don't know. It depends on what teams like.
No, you're right.
If a team likes him, they'll go get him. The one guy that I am not sold on is Bo Nix. Of the six that everyone talks about, I've got Bo Nix at six for sure. Mm. Right? He doesn't intrigue me that much. Michael Penix does, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. That one I think I'm in agreement with you on, although neither one of us know, do we? That's the fun part of this whole thing.
A passer like Penix who can just kind of shred you up like that from the pocket, I'm always going to have interest in that.
Yeah,
NFL.
You like that.
But Justin Herbert, I'm telling you, Paul, this draft is going to be wild. I cannot wait for it tomorrow.
There you go.
Let's talk about Caitlin Clark's new deal.
Okay.
With Nike. It's a shoe deal and just a deal in general. We'll get into that as we make our way through Sports Daily.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily on a Wednesday. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you. Thanks for listening in here on KFH. Mornings on KFH, by the way. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire.
Yes, sir.
Coffee.
Can I hold
Always
mine up?
Appreciate
there it
that.
Is. Can yeah. you see it right there,
Paul's
Jacob?
Paul's got it right there.
Right there,
we got
baby.
like a vat of it in the studio.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm going to take a big sip. Hold on just a second.
In the break room there. So we appreciate Prairie Fire.
How was that?
Slurping. Good. Coming up a little later in the show, we're going to have Kevin Saul in, and we think maybe Terry. We'll get clarification on that as we come through, which is good timing.
Why not?
I would like to get his thoughts on the explosion of women's basketball.
We're about
to talk about Caitlin Clark. We're going to give away some HTO in the second hour. We're going to talk Royals in the second hour. We have a lot to get to today. Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. It's a fun show, so stick with us. Paul, let's get into the Caitlin Clark story.
Let's do it.
So Caitlin Clark is reportedly doing a Nike deal, and the valuation here is $28 million over 8 years, which, you know, rough math shows that at $3.5 million a year. Pretty similar probably to what her NIL valuation was. If I remember correctly, I think she was at about $3.5 million in college endorsements. $3 million. So according to some reports, it was $3 million in NIL money at Iowa, which is where she started the bidding with these apparel companies. I'm going to tell you though, Paul, I thought this was going to be way higher. Now, let me just give you a couple of comparables.
All right, please.
In this.
All right.
So if we're talking about like the largest just sort of sponsorships, all-encompassing sponsorships. Of course, Michael Jordan with Nike is at the top. He just
obviously
has so much skin in the game. It's worth like $1.3 billion, according to Pitch, which is a publication. Cristiano Ronaldo, $1 billion with Nike. Makes sense, right? LeBron and Nike, $1 billion. Makes sense. Messi and Adidas, $1 billion. Makes sense. Federer and whatever Uniqlo is, $300 million. Rory McIlroy and Nike, $250 million. Steph Curry and Under Armour, $215 million. Derrick Rose and his old Adidas deal was at $185 million. David Beckham has one. Tiger Woods has one. That's over $100 million. Hmm. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's not going to, before she plays any professional ball, getting in that stratosphere. Here are the shoe deals, though, Paul. According to Sporting News, Jordan's shoe portion of his, $150 million a year. LeBron, $32 million a year. Durant, $28 million a year. Steph, $20 million a year. James Harden's at $14 million a year. Zion Williamson is at $12 million a year. Dwayne Wade's at $12 million a year. Giannis is at $12 million a year. Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving are both at $11 million a year. Now, I would ask you this, Paul, and this is where I thought Caitlin Clark's was going to be higher. Would you rather, if you were the decision maker, have Zion Williamson at $12 million or Caitlin Clark at $3.5 million? And I bring him up specifically because Zion Williamson has not attained the level of success as a professional. So you got to think of him as coming in. And he was the guy, like he was the hyped up, you know, of all the recent draft picks, like as far as like branding and star power, he was that guy. $12 million a year, Caitlin Clark's $3.5 million a year. I'd way rather, if I'm just making a business decision, Paul, I'd way rather have Caitlin Clark because I think Caitlin Clark has the ability in an untapped market to sell. Like, sell shoes like Jordan sold shoes, right, in the beginning.
Right, right. Well,
that's why I thought her deal was going to be much larger because she, like, you've got all these young people, all these young girls playing basketball. Mm-hmm. They're all going to want the Caitlin Clark shoes.
Right.
All of them. There's no, there's nobody to share that with right now.
Right, two things. First of all, with Zion Williams, it's not a shoe deal; it's an ankle boot deal. That's what that's for. His name, you know, he's going to have his name on an ankle boot. You know that you use for rehab. That's what the of course I'm not kidding. But and then with
because he hasn't played yet.
Because he hasn't played. I mean, he's always hurt. In fact, in the playoffs, as we speak, I don't think he played last night. Was it the night before? Last night, I don't think he played. I think he was on the bench. I'm so disappointed in Zion and. And I regret making the joke that he's, you know, sponsoring ankle, you know, an ankle boot. But I mean, you get my drift that he's hurt so much of the time that I don't even know. Nobody's getting their money's worth on any of the endorsements that he is being purported with. Now, with Caitlin Clark, what's going to happen when she goes to the WNBA? She's going to lose some of her luster. She's going to lose some of her audience because she will not be as visible unless she drags the WNBA right along with her. Now, I'm not saying that she doesn't have potential, but with regards to being able to promote, you know, this or that or the multitude of things she's been promoting as a Iowa Hawkeye, and I get that, but a lot of that was regional too, by the way. A lot of that was regional. Which makes sense. You know, if you play for Iowa or a Big Ten team, you're going to have a lot of regional sponsors. The question is for Caitlin Clark, how does her game translate to the professional side of things? And there's going to be, as we say with men,
but that doesn't matter for a shoe deal, Paul. I mean, it does.
No,
it,
no,
does
it will
down
over
the road.
It will.
Right, but
yes.
not for an initial 8-year deal, right?
I got you.
Because it doesn't. She's going to sell shoes based on what she's already done.
Right. Sixth graders are going to want her shoe.
Those sales will come now. And then, obviously, if she becomes a great professional player and she continues to draw the interest to, you know, the sport or to her or whatever at the WNBA level that she did in college. And I think time will tell. I think that's going to be the greatest challenge off the court that she's faced so far.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Then her next shoe deal will be massive, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be massive. I thought there would be a more massive deal initially because she'll sell so many shoes based on what she's already done and based on the impacts we've already seen.
Right.
And, you know, if you are wondering if she's going to draw, you know, again, and I only say I love, and I this is this way, you know, on the men's side too now in my life, but I like college basketball now. I consume it far more. In the women's game, that's always been the case for me. And so, I think that's the case for a lot of people, we've never seen anything like Caitlin Clark.
No.
So we don't know if it might translate. If the WNBA draft is any indicator, it will translate.
Right.
And that's what, when I saw the WNBA draft numbers, that's when I started saying to people, like, watch how big this shoe deal is going to be.
Right.
Because that tells you right there people are interested because they watched it go through.
Right.
But it wasn't as big as I thought. It was a great deal. I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
I'm happy. You know, don't misunderstand. I just tried to think of it as if I were the apparel company. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I would do everything to get her on board because just like bottom line, not even like the brand, like in simple bottom line shoe sales, she is good. Watch what happens, Paul. And I could be wrong about this because I was wrong about the size of this deal she was going to get. But watch what happens when they put this shoe out and you'll start to see all the stories.
Right.
Most popular, most sold shoe of any kind right now for setting records for shoe sales out of the gate. Just watch. It'll happen.
All right. Question for you again. Again, this is there's no right or wrong answer. I seem to be full of questions for you today because it's fun. One thing I like about you is that there's things that you and I have different takes on. I like that. I like that when you and I don't see the same item in the same way. And this is one of those because you say you were surprised it wasn't wasn't higher, Caitlin Clark's deal with Nike. I'm a little stunned that it was that high. So, I mean, here you and I were both a little bit different. But here's my question to you. No right or wrong answer, obviously. Do you believe that, say, 2 to 3 years from now, you will be consuming WNBA as a fun thing, as a thing you're not doing for the radio show, but as a basketball fan, will you be consuming WNBA on games that do not include Caitlin Clark? Will you be watching?
Paul, I won't be watching games that do include Caitlin Clark, and it's only because it's not. I have such limited time in what I consume. I'm not consuming the NBA right now because I watch too much college basketball.
I'm
too much of an NFL draft junkie because I love Major League Baseball. The answer to that is no.
That's interesting.
I'm not watching the NBA anymore. I had to cut the NBA out to make room for all the college basketball that I watch now. So for me, no. But I'm not the person that matters, Paul.
Right.
I'm not.
Well,
the question is, do all of the women who didn't watch any of it before Caitlin Clark translate to the WNBA? It's not I think this is unfair to everybody, by the way. I think this weird, like, guilt and pressure of being told, well, now you need to watch women's basketball. Well, maybe I don't have time to watch anything other than what I already watch, right? I already watch women's college basketball. I don't have time to add the WNBA to my plate. Okay, so that's unfair to the viewers. What you've got to think of it as is just attention in general. Caitlin Clark has been wildly successful in arena, in eyeballs, because she's tapping this untapped resource of the sports audience. Caitlin Clark is pulling people in that didn't watch any sports before, right? So now you look at it, and does she capture and keep the audience that didn't exist before and translate it?
Yes.
I think the chances of that are pretty high.
That's right. And partly because of the team that she's going to play for, which is going to be Indiana, which is still, well, that's Big Ten territory, right next door to the state of Iowa, if I have my geography correct. And so, yes, there's going to be a huge hangover with regards to those eyeballs on Caitlin Clark from that area. A lot. Listen, you're a sixth grade girl. You're going to want her shoes as a pro, because your eyes are still going to be on Caitlin Clark, particularly in, let's say, Big Ten territory. you're still going to want to be a part of what she is promoting. And listen, I think she sells as many shoes as Curry, as Durant, as who else did you mention?
I think initially I agree.
I think she sells a ton of shoes, and I think that might be, now that I think about it, that might exactly.
That's why I thought this deal would be bigger.
That's why I'm starting to think, you know something, you're right. My initial reaction may have been wrong.
I think she's going to sell a ton of
shoes. A ton. And it's
Rodney
all be
chimes
ice,
in.
Yeah, go.
Rodney chimes in, says, what are your thoughts about the idea that she would have been better off staying in college for another year financially, visibility? I think her visibility would have been higher.
Did she have another year? Now, that's news to me.
She could have.
I didn't know that.
But it would have been the extra weird year and everything. Visibility, I will guess that it would have been higher in college. We'll see. I mean, this is the next trail she's set to blaze to see if she can grow a sport on its own. Financially, probably not, because now she has an 8-year deal set just slightly above what she was making in college. So financially, dollars and cents, she made the right decision, right? She's now, instead of making $3.5 million, she'll make 30, basically, you know, over 8 years. So I think financially, it was clearly the correct decision. Visibility wise, the WNBA's got a long road to become more popular than women's college basketball, because women's college basketball is exploding in popularity. We'll see if Caitlin Clark can do it. And know this, too. It got amplified by Caitlin Clark, but women's college basketball was growing before the phenomenon of Caitlin Clark. It's been growing for a while. It's always been really popular. She has taken it to all new levels, ask anybody involved in the sport. Coming up, we should have Kevin Saul, and we may have Terry Nooner. We'll get his thoughts on this as Wichita State women's basketball continues to try and get back to prominence. We'll have that. We'll have a giveaway as well for some HTO. We appreciate everybody listening in and tuning in on the IHOP Hotline, 869-1240. We'll come back, more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Pool's opening soon, Memorial Day. There'll be a big Memorial Day bash at the pool. There's a bar out at the Crestview Pool. It's got the huge high dive, serves food out there. Really looking forward to pool season out at Crestview. The family and I use that feature at Crestview more than any other feature by far. We are at that pool all summer long. So that opens up soon. Just one of the benefits at Crestview. Give them a call today and ask about any of their memberships and tell them we sent you over here from Sports Daily and KFH. Paul, we make our way into the end of this first hour, and we have the NFL draft coming. We've got all kinds of stuff coming. The Royals last night, we'll spend just a minute here on the Royals. We'll save Reggie Bush for the next hour. But the Royals, look, you take it how you can get it. The Blue Jays make a mistake last night. Bobby Witt Jr. takes advantage of that mistake, and they get a win. They had better starting pitching, which was good to see, and the bullpen was really good, which was great to see. We've been wondering here, Paul, or at least I have, probably more so me, definitely more so me than Tommy, that the Royals are interesting. We're all excited about this start, but the vast majority of their wins have come against bad teams. And they are losing series to good teams, and they're beginning this stretch now for the next couple of weeks where they're going to play nothing but good teams, and I'm a little concerned about that, but we'll see.
Well, we will see, but, I mean, you're seeing some things from player. You're starting to see some things from players that you haven't seen in the past. I mean, sure, you got Witt. Sure, you got Perez. I mean, you know, we know what you're going to get from them, but you're starting to see some things with the Royals. And listen, who wouldn't – I mean, just exactly who are you if you're not understanding where the Royals are? 14-10. At this point right now, if I'd have said, Jacob, we're pushing towards the end of April, would you take 14-10 with the Royals? What would you have said?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? You would have said, are you kidding me? I take it. I like your word, absolutely, because there's not a lot of things in life that are absolute. That right. is. That is. So with that being said, I mean, the Royals are fun. And I confess, I mean, I'm watching more Royals baseball live than I've had.
It's fun.
I have in a while. Because you
They're a fun team.
They are. They are. They're a fun team that's fun to watch. And it's good. And by the way, the pitch clock doesn't hurt. I mean, that helps. It helps a lot, in my opinion. I know a lot of people don't like it. You know, the purists. But I think, you know, if people like it and it speeds the game up, and if you haven't watched the Royals for a while, give them a try. You'll enjoy the pitch clock, but you'll also enjoy the Royals and what they're doing. Pitching is better. Hitting is better. More timely. Leadership seems to be better. I like Bobby Witt. I like Perez, as we've talked about on past shows with regards to leadership. So, you know, I like the Royals, and they're fun to watch. And
it's all there for you.
I can't say that I could say that over the course of very many times since their last World Series. I'll put it that way.
Let's get to the phone lines here before we end hour number one and get to Kevin Saul in the next hour. Anthony on the line wants to chime in. Hey, Anthony, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I can't believe I'm still up, but it was out of necessity. But I'm getting ready to head toward the home front so I could be on my way down. But you said something about the Royals. You said they're winning against bad teams and losing against good teams. But there was also a time where they used to lose against bad
teams.
So that part, they got figured out. The other thing is, the game that they won, you said they took advantage of a mistake. How many times have mistakes been presented to teams in the past and they didn't take advantage of that? So you have to take these little small things, these little small steps, and hopefully if they play against one of these good teams and one of these good teams make a mistake that allows them to win, you take that and you learn from that, and you just continue to build and build and build. Eventually they'll break through against one of these good teams. So that's how you have to look at it. So instead of looking at it as the glass half empty, maybe it's time to look at it as the glass half full. And try to enjoy this ride. And on that note, I'm going to get out here so you guys can finish up this first hour, and I'll be looking forward to listening to Kevin Saul. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony, always. And I'm glad you brought that up, because if you haven't listened to what I've been saying all week, that is easy. I'm not disappointed that they're beating bad teams or taking advantage of situations they should be. That's all the appropriate progress being made, and I'm thrilled for it, in fact. I'm just saying, we're trying to get a grasp of what the expectation for this specific team is this year and their chances to make that run. I do think that if we're doing that, we got to kind of pay attention to who they're beating and who they're playing. I want them to be amazing, and I want them to continue to beat these good teams. And I think they will at a decent clip, certainly better than they have been. But if they're going to ultimately get into the mix where they're going to be a playoff contender or a contender in the division in this year's American League, they're not going to be able to. They changed the scheduling. You can't just pile up wins against bad teams. You have to beat the good teams too. And that's what we'll have to see. They have not won a series yet this year against a team that's above 500. They're going to have to do that at a higher clip if they want to make the playoffs. Now, if we're talking about being excited about the progress being made for the organization, I'm in, man. All in. I love the progress being made regardless of all of that other stuff. Just trying to figure out what we should expect out of this team. And it's April. That's hard for any team. We'll come back on Sports Daily. We got Kevin Saul, Wichita State's athletic director, coming up here in the next hour. We're going to get into this Reggie Bush story. I know Paul will have a lot of thoughts on that. He's going to get his Heisman back finally, it sounds like. So we'll get into all of that. Your calls on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. We'll have a giveaway of some HTO in the next hour as well. Stick around. Plenty more Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage, coming right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.